Hello and welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And we are here with episode number lucky 13 of the Carolina Snowflakes podcast. We're calling this one Haunted Carolinas. And actually, in the house we're in right now, it's kind of spooky. It's nighttime. At least one person's died in this house that I know of.
I think a couple have.
Yeah. Who died?
Family.
Yeah.
Family members. Natural causes, nothing weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, this house could be haunted right now. I probably told you this, but like sometimes when you're not here, I look at pictures of your grandparents and I'm like, I wonder if they, because I never met them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they approve of me living in their house. And so I say thank you to them.
Oh, you talk to them.
In case they exist somewhere.
Right. Well, that's very thoughtful. I'm sure they appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I
like,
would.
Like, look at this nice young man speaking to us.
Yeah, because I never met him. But like I said, I appreciate the fact that I live here and that it was their house. So
yeah,
I try to thank them for that. I guess that's my paying homage to the possible of ghosts.
That's kind.
Yeah. Well, I know... Locally, when growing up, there was tons of like local legends. I lived in Charleston for a number of years when I was younger, and so there's a bajillion ghost stories that come from there.
Well, yeah, that city is super old.
Yeah, it's like not only the holy city, but it's the haunted city. There's a bunch of churches, which means there's a bunch of graveyards, and they're old.
Mm-hmm.
So those things sort of go together. Old graveyards and hauntings and spookiness. There was one where there was like a balcony where you supposedly could see an old actress lady who died, whose actress still haunts the theater. And I would look up there at the balcony, but I never saw a ghost.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was probably pretty drunk.
At least you tried.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you can see ghosts when you're drunk. I don't think so.
Oh, you have to be sober?
I mean, I don't know.
I would think your likelihood of seeing a ghost goes up when you're drunk.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Do you have any stories from when you were younger about like ghosts that are local?
Yeah, over at the Grove Park Inn
in
Asheville, there's a story that's been around forever of how the hotel or the inn is haunted by a little girl.
Oh.
And there's been like many documented reports of people seeing a young girl like opening their doors and closing their doors and stuff. And
it's
specifically in this one part of the hotel. And I happened to be visiting the Grove Park Inn for a completely unrelated event with my friend Cletus. And Cletus and I slipped away from this like soiree and went and sneaked into the part of the hotel where this ghost allegedly resides. It's like behind the fireplace. Like you have to know somebody who knows somebody.
Mm.
But we didn't really know anybody. We just slipped through when no one was looking.
Yeah, you were gonna covertly find this ghost.
Yeah, we were like, let's go find the ghost.
Yeah, you're gonna sneak up on it.
Yeah, so we did. We went back behind the fireplace into the section where there's rooms, but there was nobody there. The whole place was empty. And this hotel is like humongous, and it's all rock. It's very old. It's very historic.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels old. It smells old. You know? And so we poked around this place looking for ghosts and thought we were going to get caught repeatedly by security or somebody, but nobody ever came.
Yeah.
Nobody ever even like wondered where we were, which was a little concerning too. But yeah, no, we...
Did you find a ghost?
We didn't.
Oh.
We did not.
Okay.
We looked, though. We tried.
Yeah, well, it's always good to try. I mean, I've tried a lot of times to find ghosts.
We were not sober.
Yeah.
Maybe.
See, that plays into the whole thing.
Maybe
I don't know.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we had been drinking at that soiree thing and got the idea of like, let's go find this ghost.
I like have no data. I've never seen a ghost, so I have no data one way or the other. I don't know.
Maybe our listeners know.
Yeah.
Do you have to be sober to see a ghost?
That's a good question.
Let us know. So if you have lived or currently live in the western part of North Carolina, then you have undoubtedly heard of the Brown Mountain Lights, and you've maybe even seen them.
Hmm.
Brown Mountain is located in Burke County, North Carolina, and is very much a real place.
Yeah.
And the lights that are on them are also very real.
Huh.
and witnesses have reported seeing glowing orbs seemingly rise up off the mountain, hover and wobble about 15 feet in the air, and then suddenly disappear.
Huh.
Sometimes they are seen to be orange, red, blue.
Yeah. I was going to comment that that's interesting because the name Brown Mountain Lights makes it sound like the lights are brown.
No.
But it's the mountain that is
the mountain,
brown.
The name is Brown Mountain.
Are different kinds of colors.
Correct.
Yeah, I feel that's important to point out because it was confusing me for a minute. I was like, brown lights? That sounds weird.
Yeah, no, the lights are not brown, but the mountain is named
okay.
Brown. And the lights are most commonly seen during the fall or the autumn months. And although there have been countless witnesses, photographs, and even video evidence, no one actually knows what they are.
Well, I think it's interesting that they see them the most in the fall because it's like, are they happening the most in the fall or are there just more people looking in the fall?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Because as we know, fall time in the mountains means lots of leaf lookers and people mm-hmm. that are visiting just to see the trees. So maybe there's more eyes in the area.
Right. That's kind of my point is it's like sometimes you don't know whether or not it's something that's happening and just more people are seeing it in the fall.
Yeah, I don't know. So when it comes to what these lights are, there are a few theories, and some of them are based on like the hard sciences,
mm-hmm.
and then others are more based on legend and lore.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, the Cherokee, they have long known about the presence of these lights on Brown Mountain.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. And according to the Cherokee, the lights are the souls of Cherokee women searching for their men who had died in a battle between the Cherokee and the Catawba.
Huh.
In this gruesome battle that took place near or on Brown Mountain, like forever ago. Perhaps the most widely known legend attempting to explain the lights was put into song form in the 50s by a guy named Scott Wiseman and a chick named Myrtle Cooper.
Okay.
They had this country hit.
Myrtle Cooper.
This was the 50s, and they had this song called Brown Mountain Light.
Hell yeah.
Woohoo!
Brown Mountain Light.
So this legend claims that the lights are from a lantern being carried by the ghost of a slave who is looking for his lost master.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man.
So like the legend is like, yo, this slave loved his master so much that he came back in ghost form searching for him. That's hardcore.
It is pretty hardcore. And actually you pointed out the biggest flaw right there, which is like, I mean, I don't think they would go looking for the master.
No, that's insane.
No, yeah.
That's clearly like propaganda. It's crazy because like that's the kind of, oh man.
That happens to be like the most common legend of what they are.
Well, you know, there's a lot of legends related to slavery in the Confederacy in general.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially in this area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, scientists, of course, have their own theories as to what these mysterious lights are.
Yeah, I want to know what the scientists think.
One is that the lights are the result of swamp gas.
Yeah.
So I guess when the material in a swampy area starts to ferment or whatever it does, it starts to release these gases into the air that when they combine, they ignite or they put off light.
So let me get this straight. The scientists are saying that Brown Mountain is releasing gas that we can see, like it's farting?
Well, yes.
Okay, just making sure that what we're saying is scientists are saying that Brown Mountain is farting.
But here's the flaw. Swamp gas requires the presence of a swamp.
Yeah, usually.
There's no swamp on Brown Mountain.
I don't know that I buy that one. It's funny and it's childish, but you know.
Well, it's not childish. It's a good theory.
Well, my joke
swamp
is childish.
Gas is your joke is childish, but swamp gas is a real thing.
I know.
And light emanating from the presence of swamp gas is also a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the theories put forth by scientists as to what these lights may be. But the flaw in that point.
Yeah, I don't really.
There's no swamp. You can't have swamp gas without a swamp, I don't think.
Yeah, that one
doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No.
The other one that tends to be the most common explanation as to where these lights are coming from is that below the mountain in the valley, there's lots of roads, bridges, and railway
Mm-hmm.
So the thinking is that the lights are the reflections off of the headlights of various automobiles and trains.
But that wouldn't explain the Cherokee.
Passing through. It wouldn't explain the Cherokee. And also, the lights have been seen when there's been no vehicle traffic right. around. Case in point, in 1916, there was a huge flood mm-hmm. in the area that completely washed out all of the roadways and the bridges and even the railway mm-hmm. in the valley. And of course, this was 1916, so there was no rebuilding right away.
Yeah, it took a while.
Yeah. And during that time, there was literally no traffic mm-hmm. at all.
And people still saw the lights.
Yeah,
something tells me it doesn't have to do with that.
Yeah, but that, again, is a pretty common explanation.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. The more recent kind of scientific explanation is kind of along the same lines as the swamp gas theory.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, when plates shift or mm-hmm. fault lines shift,
mm-hmm.
they also release gas.
Yeah.
So there's thinking that perhaps there's fault lines in the area, mm-hmm. and when they move, they're releasing some sort of gas into the air that causes these lights.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with the idea of a gas being released and like a light reflecting off of it somehow or doing something crazy like that. I just don't think it's a swamp.
No, I don't think it's a swamp either.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, and so interesting, in fact, that the legend and the truth of these lights has made its way into pop culture.
Uh-huh.
You know the show, The X-Files?
Oh, yeah. I love The X-Files.
Oh, yeah. They actually had an episode where a group of hikers in North Carolina went missing.
Mm-hmm.
And they went missing around the Brown Mountain area.
Oh, I never saw that one.
Yeah, it was a late 90s episode.
Hmm.
And Mulder tells Scully mm-hmm. about the legend of the Brown Mountain lights.
Huh. Cool.
And these hikers turn up dead.
Yeah.
And he postulates, of course, that it's aliens.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And that the lights are from UFOs.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah. So, interestingly, yeah, it made its way into like that kind of a pop culture reference.
Hmm.
The lights have also been discussed on the show Ancient Aliens.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah, so like, what are these things?
On the History Channel, which I can't
understand that one either.
Yeah.
And
it should be on the Sci-Fi Channel.
The lights were featured in a book called Speaking in Bones
mm-hmm.
by Kathy Reichs.
Okay.
Who is an author. I'm a big fan of hers. She is a crime novelist who happens to also be, in her professional life, a forensic anthropologist.
Yeah.
And so that makes her super cool because uh-huh. when she writes books, novels about, mm-hmm. you know, murder and crime and bodies.
She knows the forensics.
She knows the science of like decomposing bodies. So that's her cool. work is really neat.
Yeah.
She also happens to be a professor at UNC Charlotte.
Hmm.
And fact for you, her character, Temperance Brennan, in the books is the foundation of the character Bones
mm-hmm.
in this TV show called Bones.
Yeah, it's a good show, actually.
It's a really good show.
Quite a bit of that show.
It's a really good show. Little facts for you. But anyway,
yeah, it's nice.
So the Brown Mountain lights, they're real.
Yeah.
You can see them.
I'm sure that there are lights there. I'm just not sure that the explanation is any of those that you listed.
Yeah, I don't really know either.
Yeah.
If they say if you want to be able to see them, the best time to go is, of course, in the evening
mm-hmm.
during the fall or autumn months.
Yeah.
When it's clear.
Yeah.
And you might be able to see them, but the thing is there's no...
Yeah, there's no way.
They don't show up every day.
Right.
And there's no real...
It's kind of, it seems to me like it might be some kind of phenomenon like Aurora Borealis, where it's like it's a natural thing and it looks crazy, but we don't understand what makes it happen yet. But that doesn't mean that we won't.
Right. You can also see video footage of the lights. If you want to go to YouTube, you can search.
That's awesome.
Brown Mountain Lights, and I think it was the App State, some of the students there, the science mm-hmm. people put up time-lapse cameras and actually caught
a
few very short clips of the lights.
Something tells me there are lights there. It's just a matter of like why they're there, which is really fascinating.
Yeah,
it's
an unsolved
mystery.
It really is.
That's
because
cool.
No one really knows for sure what
That's
they are.
Cool. Mm-hmm. A real life unsolved mystery. Bum, 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 bum. So when I was growing up in Anderson, South Carolina, there was this road called Mant's Jolly Road. And everyone always talked about ghost stories on it. I never really knew the details until I was older. And the details are quite interesting. So there was a man named Manson Cheryl Jolly. Okay, he died in 1869. He was the fifth son of his dad, Joseph Moorhead Jolly, and his mom, Anna Nicole Cheryl. He had six brothers and four sisters, so that's a pretty big family, but that's how they rolled back then in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And he was famous for getting revenge on the Union after the close of the Civil War. That's what he's famous for. So not killing people in the Civil War, killing Union soldiers after the Civil War.
He was holding a grudge.
Yeah, this is an important thing. So...
Mm-hmm.
His furlough papers describe him as 20 years of age, as 6'4" tall, ruddy complexion, blue eyes, red hair, as a profession, a farmer, born in Anderson in the state of South Carolina. So
he was a corn-fed...
Big old guy.
Big country guy.
Mm-hmm. And so he was out fighting the Civil War, and five of his brothers were killed during the war, and the sixth committed suicide, possibly from the effects of the war.
Well, I kind of would understand then why he might be a little mad.
So upon returning home to find his town taken over by the men he'd been fighting, Jolly swore an oath to kill five Yankee soldiers for every brother he lost during the war, which...
That's a lot of brothers.
If you were keeping track, that was six.
Yeah.
So that's 30 Yankees he wanted dead. He more than made good on his oath.
Wow, really?
Yes. So he reportedly hid out in the forest surrounding Anderson and preyed upon Union soldiers stationed nearby. He used guerrilla warfare tactics, which he was familiar with from being a scout in the American Civil War. When it became too dangerous for him to stay in Anderson because he killed so many soldiers that they were looking for him.
Yeah, he's going to get in trouble for that.
He went to Cameron, Texas, where... his mom's family still had relatives, and this was in 1867, and he died by drowning 2 years after that, 1869, in a river, trying to cross a river, and he just died by drowning. And he, his ghost is very famous in South Carolina for running around looking for Yankees to kill.
Yankee murdering ghost.
He is pissed off.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a local Anderson story that was pretty famous. And I think it's hilarious.
And
because,
so much to the point that they named a road after
him. Oh, yeah. There's a road and there's a plantation where he had family and there's a house there that's supposedly haunted. It's pretty famous haunted house. But I don't think that place is actually in Anderson. I think that's somewhere else. And Mant's Jolly Road is just a road named after him. And what's really funny about that is there are still stories of hauntings on that road. And when I was in high school, we got drunk one time and went to some random abandoned house on Mant's Jolly Road, thinking it was the Mant's Jolly house, trying to get his... We were pretending to be Yankees. We were like pretending to talk.
with the Yankee accent.
Yeah,
like,
we were like, fucking, like, where's this fucking ghost at?
Give me a quarter.
Yeah, what is this fucking ghost, queer or something? And he never showed up. So I talked a lot of shit to old Mant's.
Well, I'm kind of glad he didn't show up and accidentally kill you.
Yeah, that's a pretty hilarious story. And it is that there's a lot of ghost stories about him.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, he hung out around Anderson like sneakily killing the Yankees in their sleep.
Hiding
after
in
the
woods
was over. Yeah.
After the war.
Yeah.
Murdering Yankees.
Because he was pissed.
Because, well, all his brothers got killed in the war.
Five of them. And then the sixth one killed himself. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he was a big old dude, so I imagine like he left quite the impression. So like I said before, there's a lot of relationships between the ghost stories, at least where I came from, involving the Confederacy. It's South Carolina. It's just sort of the way it was. So in Lee County, South Carolina, which would be named after General Robert E. Lee.
General guy.
Yeah. There's your connection here. So Lee County's actually in the northeast. east quadrant of South Carolina. It's not quite on the border, just a little northeast of Columbia.
Where it's really hot.
Yeah, it's really hot and kind of flat. Since the 80s, they've in this place in Lee County called Bishopville, right next to Brownsville, or Browntown, actually. I couldn't make that up. Browntown.
Let's go to right Browntown.
Bishopville, South Carolina. There's a lizard man that people have been saying is there since the 80s.
Just since the 80s?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about this story. This lizard man is not, he's new. He's,
well, what
he's
does
still
that have
a young
to do
baby.
With the Confederacy?
Well, it's Lee County.
Oh, but he's not a soldier, lizard.
You don't know that.
That's true, I don't.
Yeah, you don't know that. He could have been a Confederate soldier. There's no reason
to
But
he
to
would
suppose.
Have been around, they would have seen him. Before 1980.
Well, they did. I don't know.
Huh, okay.
He just didn't get famous until 1980. I think he was a Confederate soldier.
So. He went viral.
Yeah. So an interesting thing is, so on July 14th, 1988, the Lee County Sheriff went out to investigate a damaged car that was parked overnight in Bishopville. And on the edges of the car, there was like tooth marks and scratches and muddy footprints, which was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid who had been driving it was a 17-year-old, and he pulled up to the police station and got out and ran in, was like, this thing just fucking attacked my car, which
Whoa.
Is really crazy.
Yeah.
Because then he comes out and he sees this and he's like, what the hell? And the 17-year-old is saying his car was damaged by a lizard with snake scales that was humongous, that he was driving home and he saw the creature walking towards him. He got in his car and began to drive, and the thing was on top of his car. And started like chomping at his car. Yeah, which is really, really
nuts.
Oh
my God, it's terrifying.
I know. It's out. Either this kid was on LSD or something really scary happened.
Whoa.
I don't know what it was. He hit the brakes and it caused the creature to fly off, giving him enough time to run away and get to the police station. And he filed a report. And it's really, I mean, it's weird that a 17-year-old would run into a police station yelling that his car got attacked by some shit.
No, I believe it happened. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it was a lizard man, but I believe something happened.
Yeah, something real crazy happened. It got in the newspapers, and there was many, many, it got pretty famous. And soon, the local radio station WCOS offered a $1 million reward to anybody who could capture the creature alive. So on August 5th of that same year, Kenneth Orr, an airman stationed at Shaw Air Force Base, said he'd shot and wounded it and had some scales and some blood that he said he got from it,
oh
but didn't
goodness.
Have the creature. But it's pretty funny because he was later charged with carrying a pistol, offense of filing a false police report because he wasn't supposed to have the pistol, and the police report was probably fake.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. So reports of the creature just like kept going up. I saw a documentary about this. There's a guy who lives out there who like flies drones around all the time and claims to have several pictures of the lizard man.
Oh, that's interesting.
They have a Bishopville Lizard Man Festival.
Oh.
Every year.
of course they do.
Uh-huh. It's been pretty popular since, you know, even 2008. When the festival started.
Has anyone ever tried to decipher what it may have been that attacked that kid's car?
No, the police officer guy said he never really came to a positive conclusion about what it was that attacked his car, but that he doesn't think that the kid was on drugs, and he doesn't think that the kid was lying, so it was probably a person.
Right, no, I'm totally giving the kid here the benefit mm-hmm. of the doubt, because that's like a crazy thing to have happen. And this officer clearly saw indications on the vehicle
mm-hmm.
that something happened.
Yeah.
There was damage. There was footprints,
mm-hmm.
etc.
You don't get a lot of 17-year-old kids rushing into police
no.
stations.
No.
So like,
I'm,
that's a
what I'm
thing.
Saying is I believe that something happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious if anything like investigation-wise had determined like what it could have actually been as opposed to Lizard Man.
They don't know. I think some people believe that he faked it, that it was a prank.
Hmm.
I don't know the answer. I don't think they ever came to a conclusive answer on it. And that's part of the thing.
In the documentary that you watched, did the guy actually show images or footage?
Yeah, there was a picture of the car, of the damage to the car. Something fucked the dude's car up for sure.
But what about the pictures of this lizard man? Was that ever?
Yeah, there's tons of them. If you look up online, Bishopville
oh, really?
Lizard Man, there's quite a few pictures of it. They they look like a dude in a suit to me.
I'm surprised. I wonder if that one's been an X-Files episode.
I'm sure.
Because it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've seen that on X-Files.
You've probably seen it on the local news because it's pretty
nuts.
Big. Yeah. There's a lizard guy living in the swamp.
And they have
there.
A festival.
Oh, yeah.
Neat.
And they have shirts that have made enough money for the town for them to have a festival. Like, that was part of it. When the shirts started going on sale, they were, like, providing money for the county. And they were, so they leaned into it hard.
Yeah, they were like, oh yes, we'll support this. Yeah. This lizard man.
The thing about it to me is just the cop who it happened to, listening to him tell the story, you're like, this is weird that a 17-year-old kid in a rural county like this, especially this kid, would come running into the police station yelling about something attacking his car unless something attacked his car.
Right.
Which is really so crazy.
Maybe it was a person.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just like somebody that was intoxicated or not right.
Yeah. And kicked the shit out of his car or something.
Yeah, or
I don't
did
know.
Something to it.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's a either way, like there. Even if it was just, quote, just a person, that's scary by itself. Mm-hmm. Somebody jumps on your car.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure whatever happened was terrifying.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it was.
Poor guy.
Yeah. So we've had some stories about aliens and lizard men and ghosts and all kinds of different things. But for me, my favorite has always been ghosts. I don't know about you. What's your favorite?
My favorite myth, legend, lore, or reality would be Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fan of old Bigfoot.
Yeah. I'm a fan of aliens in the sense that I think that the chances that there could be aliens are pretty high.
Same.
But I don't know that they're here, they've ever been here or anything
right.
like that.
In college, I took my senior year, I had to take a science class and I put it off till the very end. And I took astronomy, astronomy / physics. And I really regret that I waited until senior year to take that class because it turned out to be like really awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
And I loved it.
That does sound
But one of
cool.
the things that I appreciated about that course was learning about how insignificant I am.
Yeah.
In terms of like size and scale and the rest of the universe.
Yeah.
I never really thought about it like that.
Like how big it really
is.
Yeah,
and how we are just but a speck of dust in this massive cloud of possibilities.
Yeah.
And so I do believe that there are alien
there
or
could be.
Some sort of life form that's beyond
sure.
us. I don't necessarily think that aliens visit Earth and probe our butts.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't think they show up to like the most rural areas. That doesn't really make
no,
any sense. Like
where
the least light is. And
yeah, I don't believe that aliens are visiting Earth or anything, but I do believe that we are not alone.
Yeah, I think so. I think the possibility is pretty strong.
Yeah. And as far as Bigfoot goes, I don't, I just like to believe in the legend of
Well, Bigfoot. Sometimes when we see weird stuff in our yard, we explain it with Bigfoot.
Yeah. There's a large boulder rock that has been moved in our yard within
it's
the last
big.
Week. It's quite big and heavy.
Probably 30, 40 pounds.
Yeah.
It's pretty heavy.
And it got moved somehow.
A significant distance.
Yeah. Not really sure how that happened.
I think Bigfoot did
so it. So I was like, I think it was Bigfoot.
Yeah. I do too. I didn't see any of his tracks, but he's pretty good at covering them up by now.
Yeah.
He's
he's
got a
good
lot of practice.
That. Yes.
Well, I always liked ghosts a lot when I was a kid because we got bombarded with it in our childhood. If you're near my age, Ghostbusters was humongous. I loved Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with it. Beetlejuice was probably one of my favorite all-time movies of all time ever. I love that film.
Yeah,
watched
that, like,
it today actually.
Late 80s, early 90s time period was full of like ghost stories and movies.
I loved Ghost. I wanted to see a ghost so bad. I've spent a lot of time in my life trying to see ghosts and wanting to believe in them and never have seen anything.
Aww.
And I've been really disappointed with that. I think I had a very childish notion that ghosts were going to be friendly, like in Beetlejuice, that like if I could see a ghost, it would hang out with me and be my friend.
Yeah, and you guys would just be pals.
Yeah, Casper came out. Like, I just had this notion.
Oh, yeah, but there was also the Poltergeist movies. Mm-hmm. That was around the same time, too.
There was, but those, you know, those didn't seem to me like ghosts. Those seemed like demonic or something.
Right. It was a different kind, but it was still a ghost, but it was like a poltergeist.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I guess it was all the Ghostbusters. I had the impression they were going to be like Slimer or something. They were going to be cool. And so I tried to see them a whole lot and I never did. And then I got really despondent about that. And I started to think that maybe ghosts didn't like me.
Oh.
Yeah. And then like, so I kind of to this day harbor a little hostility towards people who like just blindly believe in ghosts because I'm like.
Or the ones that tell you that they've seen ghosts.
Yeah. Because I'm like, well then
what makes you so special?
Right. It's upsetting to me more than anything.
I'm sorry.
And the idea of ghosts existing always seemed like a positive thing to me. And I guess it was because of that the way we were bombarded with it in the media. I can remember very specifically, like, one night my parents were having, like, a Tupperware party downstairs, because that was a thing back then.
Yeah.
And I had one of those little viewfinders, little red ones that you put up to your eyes and you look
at.
Yeah,
I had one of those too.
Ghostbusters things. And I very vividly remember looking at it up in my eye, looking at it towards the light and flipping the thing. And it was one of the slides from Ghostbusters and it showed the ghost. And it scared me and I dropped the viewfinder. And then for a second, I swear the ghost was in my room, or I could have swore. The ghost was in my room and I jumped like a cat and the hair on the back of my neck stood up and I ran out of the room downstairs to my parents and interrupted their Tupperware party.
Interrupted the party.
Which they were like, front.
Jason, get back upstairs.
Yeah. And I very vividly remember that and then remember being excited by it, having like a thrill inside of me and being like, maybe there are ghosts. Mm-hmm. And then in all my subsequent attempts to find them and going into spooky houses and doing the Bloody Mary thing and trying so hard to get ghosts and not having them, I don't know. I guess there's a part of me that just feels disappointed by the whole thing.
Plus, there's the fact that your subsequent attempts to see ghosts typically involved some sort of alcohol consumption.
Yeah, that's part of it. And I, you know, Beetlejuice, you know, like when they do the, hey, Mr. Tallyman, I really thought like if I could get a ghost, he could do the Tallyman
Madonna. We could dance together down the stairs.
Dance, yeah. It would be super cool.
Yeah.
And so I guess ghosts, even though I love them, they're also just supremely disappointing.
For you.
Yeah, for me.
But perhaps not for others. And if anyone has seen a ghost.
Yeah, I would love to hear if you've seen a ghost and were you able to talk to a ghost?
Because, what did you guys talk about if you did?
Yeah. And were you scared? Like, because my initial reaction wasn't fear, but I don't know if that was just because of the cartoons I was watching and stuff. I don't know.
Right. So if you're listening and you've seen a ghost, please tell us.
Yeah, I would love to hear your story about it.
What'd you talk about and were you afraid?
If you have an opinion on that, you can always contact us on the Carolina Snowflakes podcast. We have a website. It's a really great website to visit. It's
carolinasnowflakes.com.
We also have a Facebook. It's very popular.
Facebook.com/CarolinaSnowflakes.
And then we have a Gmail, which we would love to get your emails so we can find out about your ghost experiences.
CarolinaSnowflakes@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Bye.